Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Have you ever taken a CPR course? What's it called? First aid? Yeah, see, I don't even know what it's called. I'm pretty sure mine has definitely lapsed, but you know, they run you through a few days of scenarios, and I don't know about you, whether it's like a conference or, you know, something like improvisation. I don't even know. Like I find it pretty hard. Like role playing, sometimes I find it difficult because, you know, it's different when you're in the situation as opposed to just pretending like a situation is happening. I remember there was this one lady and, you know, they sent me out of the room because I had to be the person who was the first aid responder. And she was, I forget what she was doing. I think she was lying on the ground and she was like, I'm like, I couldn't help myself. See, I got a sense of humor and that's the situation, right? And so I was like, what's going on? Like, oh my goodness, she's dying. Oh my gosh. Like, I just couldn't take it seriously. I still got the certification though, but it was strange. I was like, what were you doing? And she's like, I couldn't breathe, or like CO2. Not CO2. What's that other stuff called? I don't even know. Okay. This lady was experiencing some sort of trauma and I wasn't really able to help her, but she's still alive. So after the course, still got the certification and everything was good. You know, it's one thing to be able to go through and practice a situation and circumstance like that. It is a whole other thing to encounter it in the real world, right? You know, to theorize versus actually have to put it into action. Like, I think about this, man. Especially one day, like if I have children, I don't as of right now, but, I remember there was this one time and my nephew, he was eating and then all of a sudden he just started choking out of nowhere. Like his face is going like super, super red. And, my mom was there at the time and she just like jumps right in and like sticks her finger down this kid's throat and like, boom, like it was nobody's business. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like what would I have done? You know, it's kind of scary. And, I think that is a good way to go into what I want to talk about today. And that is a topic that is definitely misunderstood in a lot of churches. Unfortunately, something that is ignored. But you know what? It's just like a condition. If you have like a rash or something like that, or if you're noticing some symptoms of something, if you ignore it, it's not going to necessarily go away. See, I can have a rash on my arm and I can keep covering it up with long sleeves. But you know what? That rash is indicating something. And if I don't actually expose it, if I don't actually deal with it, it's not going to go away. And it can actually get worse because I'm allowing it to function. I'm allowing it to continue to spread. Today, if you clicked on this, odds are that you know we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. When I even say that, I'm sure that there are people who think to themselves, what in the world, like spiritual warfare? What does that even mean? Or this might bring up some very vivid things. I know someone personally, and they went to a church that was, I don't want to be rude. I do not want to be rude. I do not want to judge, but where there was an overemphasis on spiritual warfare to the point where things would be a little bit strange and weird. I don't know why we do that in churches. You know, I don't know why we have to make situations that are very straightforward, very laid out, clearly in the Bible. Why do we have to make it super, super strange? But I want to talk about it today. I want to expose it so that we can begin to walk in this. So today I want you to think of it as almost like an introduction. I wanted to start off with asking you a question. Have you ever been sitting somewhere? Maybe you're about to do something productive when all of a sudden you hear a little whisper, not audibly, but something in your mind that says, hey, why don't you do this? Or maybe when you're tired, you're at the end of the day or hungry or you're feeling low. And then all of a sudden this whisper comes along and it just nudges you towards something that you know isn't productive. And by not productive, I mean downright wrong, right? It could be a thought, it could be a substance, but this whisper seems to just show up at these moments. Have you ever felt like, based on the circumstances happening around you, that there's other forces at play besides the ones that you can physically see with your eyes? You know, how many times have you felt yourself thinking or saying something like, I just don't know why I feel off, you know, just this feeling inside that you can't really explain, or I don't know why, but I just have this bad feeling. Sometimes these feelings, maybe you can relate to this, can come when you're in a certain area. Maybe you go to a new town and you're in a city, or maybe you enter a building and you're just like, I just get this feeling. There's something that's not right here. I just feel this heaviness or whatever it might be. Maybe you are in a crowd of people and all of a sudden someone enters a room and all of a sudden there's just something that your spirit or something inside of you that God is showing. See, some might call those thoughts intuition. Some would call it discernment. But what is it that you are actually discerning? Today I was in devotions, and during my devotion time, I came across the story of Job. Now, some say that that's what the book of Job is, just a story, you know, to illustrate something, while others take it literal. Regardless, the book of Job starts off in a pretty interesting place. Let's pick it up in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, "One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." And Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You've always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, you may test him," the Lord said to Satan. "Do whatever you want with everything he possesses, but don't harm him physically." So Satan left the Lord's presence. Remember, regardless of if you interpret this as a story or an actual account, the Bible is the inspired word of God, right? Which means that it isn't deceptive. By nature of God, it can't be. So here in the beginning of the book of Job, we see behind the curtain a little bit. We get a glimpse into what people might call the spirit realm. And check this out. Let's continue the story. It says, "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting at the oldest brother's house, a messenger arrived at Job's home with this news. Your oxen were plowing with the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided us. They stole all the animals and killed all the farmhands. I'm the only one who's escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with this news. "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and burned up your sheep and all the shepherds. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, a third messenger arrived with this news. "Three bands of Chaldean raiders have stolen your camels and killed your servants. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger arrived with the news. "Your sons and daughters, they were feasting in their oldest brother's home. Suddenly, a powerful wind swept in from the wilderness and hit the house on all sides," which, pause, that's kind of crazy that the wind would hit the house on all sides. "It says, the house collapsed and all your children are dead. I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Job stood up and he tore his robe in grief. Then he shaved his head and fell to the ground to worship. He said, "I came naked from my mother's womb, and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had, and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin by blaming God. And then it goes back to the spiritual realm, which is interesting. It says, "One day the members of heaven's court, the heavenly court, came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser, Satan, came with them. Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. And Satan answered the Lord, "I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." And the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause." Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, do with him as you please," the Lord said to Satan, "but spare his life." So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. And then we see the result play out in the natural, or what we would call life as we know it here on earth. It says, "Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Just curse God and die.' But Job replied, 'You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. I don't know about you, but I find this to be such an incredible story. You know, if you keep on reading the book of Job, this guy was pressed so hard that he literally sat not talking for days. I believe it was 7 days, but I'm not sure about that. And when he finally does, he curses the day he was born. Can you imagine what this man went through? Family, dead, all except his wife, who honestly did not share the same character that Job did. I believe that the only reason she was allowed to live is because, you know, she eventually tested him. It was like, hey, listen, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. I'm like, man, who even says that, okay? We got to pick our significant others carefully, okay? All these different things. His land has been raided, servants killed, livestock stolen, health taken away. But what Job doesn't know, and this is what I want you to hear, is that in the spirit realm, Satan has been allowed to do these things to him. What Job doesn't know is that in that moment, the devil himself was set against Job and his family. A little bit off the notes too, if you keep reading the book of Job, it's kind of interesting because Job, at one point, he starts to associate the things that are happening to him as if they were coming from God. And he starts to associate the two in the same, almost thinking like, God, like, why are you doing this to me? And why is this being allowed? When really God had nothing to do with this situation. What am I trying to say? You know, there's a world that you cannot see with your natural eyes that has massive sway over your life and the lives of your family members and the people around you. And even the circumstances, I'd say, including finances, including all these different things. Now, it goes both ways. Is everything there wrong? No, of course, God resides and operates in the spiritual realm as well. And so does his kingdom. But what I want us to see today is that there is an enemy of our souls. He does have a kingdom, and that kingdom is not, if not dealt with, rather, can keep you confused, and it can keep you fighting the wrong things and the wrong people until the day that you die. A verse that is often quoted in the Bible is Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now, I'm not saying that we need to know everything about the enemy's camp, but what I am saying is that we need to be aware, on guard, standing firm in the faith. How many people have no idea that there is actually a war going on in the supernatural that is more real than the natural that they are experiencing every single day? They don't know about these things. They don't. They choose to ignore them. And then as a result, they're being thrown around all throughout their life when all they have to do is stand up in the authority that God has delegated to them and stop the madness, right? I love that picture of fighting things, coming against things, thinking things, filled with confusion. You don't even know what's going on. So maybe you're attacking people around you. Maybe you're dealing with substances to try and cope. You have no idea that what might be happening in your life is actually taking place on a higher level, on a different plane, if you shall. I'm not sure if you've picked up on it or not, but today I'm being a little bit vague, right? There are things that I've seen with my own eyes, things that the Holy Spirit has allowed me to see, that I should say, that have transformed the way that I look at things. And if it's appropriate down the road, I will talk about them. But we need to start here at the ground level. We need to acknowledge the fact that there is a devil. He and his kingdom are real. They are organized and they are even at work on the earth right now. You can choose to say, nope, I'm not going to believe that. That's ridiculous. But it is real. Just like Job, he was experiencing the effects of a realm that he didn't see. He was confused. See, I find the things in life that are the hardest to deal with are sometimes the things that you really don't understand, right? You know, why did this happen? How is it that I'm feeling like this all the time? Why is it that that person is always nice to everyone, but whenever I'm around, they start acting all strange? Why is it that my finances, it seems like generation after generation, we're just stuck in poverty, always striving, never accomplishing? See, when we have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, when we get the discernment, we can see into those situations and act accordingly on a deeper level. Because remember, the body of Christ is a house of action. There are so many times in my own life where people might even look at me in different circumstances and they might say, how in the world are you able to do this? How in the world are you able to just kind of ignore these quote unquote injustices that might be going on around you? And I'll tell you, if I didn't have the wisdom from the Holy Spirit giving me insider information as to what's actually going on, I doubt that I would actually be able to have stood or stand as long and you know, resolute as I have in the past. But when I pray about it, when I say, okay, God, this is what I see people maybe treating me not in a great way, but what's actually going on? And then he gives me the wisdom, Terry, this is what's going on. And this is what's happening in the spirit realm. And this is what's coming. And this is what they're trying to do in your life. And this is what their goal is. And this is how to stand against. And this is how to overcome. See, when we have that type of wisdom, we're able to deal effectively with things and not get thrown out and thrown off pace. Before I close, I don't want anyone to feel disempowered, though, or afraid. I know that when the topic of spiritual warfare, or even just the spirit realm or whatever you'd like to call it, it can cause a few to feel like the enemy is all powerful and waiting just to attack you. And listen, that's false. We just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. You know what happened on Easter? Something pretty incredible. Jesus took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Another way we could say Jesus took back authority and is now seated at the right hand of God. See, what we need to understand is that we were made in the image of God. And when we become Christians, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, which means that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead can abide in us if we abide in God. Let's take a trip for a second back to the book of Genesis for a quick Bible history lesson. See, God put everything on earth under Adam. He gave Adam that authority. It was that authority that the devil wanted. So the devil deceived Adam and Eve when Adam sinned. He transferred by way of sin that authority to the devil. And that's why when Jesus in Matthew 4 was tempted by the devil, we read that the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. See, how could the devil give Jesus that? Well, because Adam gave it up when he sinned to the devil. That's why Jesus had to come in the form that he did, fully man, fully God, so he could redeem us from the curse that Adam originally subjected us to when he willfully sinned. So once again, when Jesus died as the ultimate sacrifice, he went and took the keys. He took the authority that the devil and hell had and took it back by force, therefore restoring mankind. Not only that, he then delegated authority to us so that we could continue to drive back the forces of darkness. So the next time you feel helpless or fearful, take your thoughts captive. Realize that we are fighting against a defeated foe, but there is a foe that we're still fighting against. Now, we shouldn't take it lightly. We are at war. It is a battle, but we don't have to lose because, like the Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hopefully that started to get your thoughts going, not for entertainment's sake, but so that you start to realize that we are at war. This isn't vacation time for the church. It's time for the church to stand in its authority, not in a weird way, okay? Not in this ridiculousness, so that we can get into the spiritual fight and start to deal with things, not by treating symptoms, but by going right to the source. I remember there was someone and they're like, man, you have no idea. I went to this church service. You have no idea what was going on, right? I just couldn't believe this. So there were people that were, you want to call it, you can call it manifesting, which means that they were being either they were possessed or they were oppressed by the enemy, right? So there's this church service and these people are like doing strange things, right? They're like on the ground. They're like slithering like snakes. They're pretending to be like dogs and they're barking and all this weird noises are going on, all this craziness. And people were literally like, no, 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 this is a move of God. That is not a move of God. Hello, listen, church. We cannot be blind to the attacks of the enemy. We can't be blind to the schemes of the enemy. We don't have to be super invested and know, oh, this is exactly what they do and this and this and this. But listen, we need the wisdom from God if we're going to be able to deal with it effectively. I'm thinking about people here who came to a church service oppressed of the devil. The spirit of God and the presence of God was in that place. So these people start manifesting, but instead of being set free, people are like, oh no, leave them alone because this is a move of God. False. That is the enemy at work and we need to take authority. Those people were ripe for deliverance, but because those people didn't understand what was going on and couldn't discern it, they were not delivered. So let me encourage you. Okay, let me settle it down here a little bit. Let me simmer. I'm just very passionate about it. Spiritual warfare, it's a real thing, okay? Face value here, we need to realize at the very base level that we are at war. We are at war. It's not vacation time for the church. It's time for the church to stand in its authority, get into the fight so we can start to deal with things not by treating symptoms, but by dealing with the source.